Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Tasker, touchdown, Buffalo!
And it's Steve Tasker who has been all over the field.
Kind of unique. He was kind of a dual role player for you.
Steve!
A balloon.
Steve! A blimp? We're not even in the stratosphere of normalcy here. That music can only mean one thing. It is time, in hour number two of the program, for the lowdown with our resident in waiting, one Lorenzo Alexander, to break this game down for us coming up on Monday at 5 o'clock. Lorenzo, how you doing, man? Did you have a good week?
Yeah, I'm doing real well. Went up to the Grand Canyon last weekend.
Oh, nice.
And, kids playing flag football, so just really enjoying life and enjoying my time off and extra time that I have on my hands right now.
Can you imagine? It's kind of – you get. I'm glad you're enjoying it, but do you ever sit back and you think, man, how – you got to be happy – that you're not in the midst of this pandemic trying to play pro football. I mean, you picked the exact right time to pull the ripcord, right?
Yeah, I had great time, and God spoke to me at the right time to get out of the game. There's just so much extra stress added on to this season because of the uncertainty, the adversity, the fluidity guys have in order to be able to still compete at a high level with, you know, all the protocols and shifting of schedules, cancellation of games. You just never know what to expect week to week. So it's definitely a blessing in a lot of ways not to have to deal with that. And, you know, then on top of it, my kids love football. They love coming to the facility. And this year they wouldn't be been able to do that. So
right.
It would have been hard for us and my family for a lot of different reasons.
Yeah. And there's another development today with another Patriots player testing positive, according to sources, and they have a second positive that's still going through the process of confirming to make sure it's not a false positive. So the Patriots have canceled practice for today, and it is a player that's the positive, so we're going to have to see where that goes. But this is kind of news of the day that we're probably going to see an awful lot because around the country, as Steve and I were just discussing, Lorenzo, cases are going up everywhere. It is not decreasing in any state in the country. And obviously that just increases the odds for all these football players and coaches who are trying to do right by their teammates. But the law of averages isn't going to get better with cases on the rise like this. And that makes it hard for them, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, you pretty much would have to just, you know, stay in your home and shelter and place for the most part, go to work and come back. But even then, this is the way this virus works. You just never know what the touch points are, from picking up something to touching something and touching your face, you know, touching your mask and touching your face later. It's just, you have to be so meticulous to minimize it, and that it's really hard. And that's why, you know, you try to have these protocols to maybe be able to prevent the spread throughout teams. Nobody's immune, no matter what type of protocols you put in place, because you can't see this. You don't know who's contagious, even when they are negative testing. And that makes it even harder, I think, to kind of walk and act a certain way. So you have to assume that everybody has it at all times, which is really impossible to do, especially when you have your wife and your kids at home as well who could easily pass it along to you.
So, Zoe, coming off of last week's loss, or Tuesday's loss, heck, it was this week, the general consensus at least from the fans, was the defense needs some fixing. And Leslie Frazier addressed the media this week, and he said, yeah, I mean, our man coverage, we're struggling. He said, we're even struggling in some of our zones. And Coach McDermott said, we're not getting a pass rush at all with Russian four. But even when they blitz, Zoe, I mean, according to some of these advanced metric sites like Pro Football Focus, the Bills have blitzed 84 times this season. That is the second most in the league. And yet they have the sixth fewest quarterback pressures in the league. I think part of it is chemistry and getting all these new pieces that they acquired in the offseason on the same page together. But I don't know, how closely have you paid attention to that part of the defensive play, and what do you think is ailing them there?
Yeah, I think it comes down to complementary football. And when you think about getting sacks, you depend on your back end just as much as you do your guys rushing. And even this play we're looking at right now, when A.J. Brown gets his touchdown, Jerry Hughes, as well as the interior lineman, are putting pressure, maybe even sacking. But when a quarterback gets to the top of his drop and plants that foot and is releasing the football, it's hard to get pressure. And then conversely, when the guys do hold up on the back end and make the quarterback pump and hold the ball and maybe move around a little bit, the D-line hasn't been able to win. And so, obviously, it's an ultimate team sport, because even as a defensive lineman, when you win cleanly, it's still hard to get a sack if a guy is throwing the ball on time. And so that's why even when we was in that room, it was always about a collective effort, you know, D-linemen, linebackers, and the back end doing their job. And this year so far, they haven't been able to get into a rhythm where everything is hitting on all cylinders. It's been one or the other kind of doing their job, and they haven't been able to take advantage of some of the opportunities that they've been given. And so these guys have to get it corrected. They got the leadership to get it corrected. And obviously Josh Allen and the offense has allowed them some room for error. But these are some things that you got to start getting right now, because before we know it, we're going to be in the nitty-gritty part of the season and playing for playoff spots, seeding, you know, home field advantage, all those type of things. So they have time, but they don't have that much time. And so hopefully this week they'll come out against the Chiefs, which is a tall task, and be able to go out there and execute.
When under Sean McDermott, like young players, even veteran players, this team seems to get better throughout the year, particularly individual players. All the rookies seem – their player development program here in Buffalo seems top-notch. Yeah. They get the most out of whoever's under the roof. So tell me what you would – if you're looking at this defense and they think they're getting better week to week, where are some of the things you would see, okay – we're starting to see this is a little better, this is a little better, this is a little better. Maybe, you know, it doesn't show up to fans or whatever, but the defense feels
right.
It and you feel more confident and you're starting to play better. Where's the first things you look for when that starts to happen?
Well, I really like the way they played the run last week. I mean, you think about Derrick Henry and what they were able to hold him in the running game at 3.1 yards per average when a guy is, you know, probably one of the top-tier linebackers, yes, or running backs. Obviously, they let Tannehill get out, and so that probably threw the average way out the roof, but that's something dealing with just pass rush lanes and understanding where he's at. But really love the crack replace, fitting in gaps, linebackers playing downhill. Cam Lewis, I thought, did an excellent job playing as a young guy, stepping in and making some plays, obviously in the absence of Trey. I really thought the linebackers were playing more physical. Obviously, Tremaine has had some injuries that's hampered him, but when we watched that Tennessee Titans game, really liked how physical he was, running to the ball, getting the guys. And so that's something that I did see improvement in, especially, you know, some of those earlier games where they may have given up some big plays. In the run game, when we talk about the running backs, I thought they did an excellent job of corralling those guys and getting those guys down the ground.
So, you know, we talked to the players after that game. They just want to flush that thing, and you can understand why. So looking ahead to the Chiefs here, Zoe, the big talk has been about how both the Titans and the Raiders chose not to blitz these quarterbacks as much and drop more people into coverage and force them to kind of nickel and dime their way down the field and not give up anything cheap or deep. And for the Raiders, it worked. They got a win. They held them scoreless. The Chiefs scored 8 points in the second half. And they lost the game, and then which is almost unheard of. And then we know how the Titans did. Now, granted, they were helped by some early turnovers to get up on the scoreboard, but they held the Bills' offense down, even though they gave up some yardage. So Is this a blueprint as to how to defend these two quarterbacks? And Mike, the Chiefs defense and the Bills defense take a page out of that book this week?
Possibly. But, you know, I'm never going to take, you know, that small of a sample size and say that's the end all be all. One thing I know about both these quarterbacks and these offensive coordinators, that they are very innovative. And so, yeah, you may have stopped this. You did something a little bit different out of the norm. But we're going to make some adjustments, go back and see where we could have maybe made different throws, maybe throw down a check down, and, hey, maybe I got to kill you by 1,000 cuts before I can take that shot because you're taking that away. Which is fine, because if you look at some of these playmakers that both these offensives have, you check it down to a Singletary or even a Cole Beasley. Obviously, they have Cheetah and Kelce and some of their guys as well. These guys can make people miss and turn a 5-yard gain into maybe a 12 or 13-yard gain as well. And so you may have to win a little bit different, because I think both of these offenses have really have leaned on the deep ball, big explosion plays. And so maybe just taking a check down, getting up the field, and then at some point, somebody on defense, on the opposing defense, may or may not be disciplined and maybe come up, and then that's when you find your shots down the field. And so you have to be comfortable with just that death by 1,000 cuts, as we've seen some other quarterbacks do. And then when somebody becomes undisciplined, that's when you hit them. And so maybe instead of having, you know, 6 explosion plays, you may have 3, but you're constantly moving the ball and you're taking what the defense gives you.
Give us some insight as to what you think Leslie Frazier's message is to his defense this week, after, you know, the first month of the season, now facing the world champions. What's Leslie Frazier saying to that defense in their meetings?
With Frazier and even with Sean, I mean, it's always about getting back to the basics and are we performing and are we living up to our core values? And, you know, far as defensive linemen being disruptive, linebackers playing downhill, DBs breaking on the ball, and are we doing that consistently throughout the game? Are we meeting our metrics of taking the ball away? Because that was another big thing in that game, obviously, losing a turnover battle. All those little things that we focus on defense, he wants to make sure guys are getting back to. Flush that game. It was one game. Let's get back to us and let's continue to build to who we want to be. And so those are the things I know he's focusing on, because obviously, the team is so process-driven. If you ever feel like you have to move away from that or shift it drastically, your whole program is flawed, which we all know it's not. So they always revisit the process and the fundamentals, especially when you go out there and don't play as well as you should. And I think last week was indicative of your process was changed and shifted because, you know, moving from Sunday to Tuesday, we didn't know if we're gonna even play the game. Did we have to get ready for the Chiefs? And so this week, I think just getting back to your regular routine, getting back to those specific things that you work day in and day out will go a long way in helping both the offense and defense, as well as the special teams, come out and play like we've seen this team do, especially in the first 4 of 5 games.
All right, time now for lowdown number one, Lorenzo. So what do you have here for number one for this Bills-Chiefs matchup?
For me, I think it's, you know, we have to continue to get after the football, take the football away. Obviously, playing Patrick Mahomes, if we can figure out ways to win that turnover battle, is going to be huge. That's something that we've seen when the Chiefs have lost, as well as last week with the Bills. When you have these high-powered offenses, if you can take the ball away and minimize points, it's going to be significant in this game. And every time they've won a turnover battle this year so far, I believe they've won the game as well.
And what about what else? Lowdown number two after
number
turnovers.
Two, going right back to the defense. When teams find themselves in the red zone, whether it's a short field or they work their way down there, they have to make the Kansas City Chiefs kick field goals. You can't allow this game to get out of hand and them score, you know, touchdowns every time they get down there. You have to limit them to field goals, which will be key. And then obviously adversity to that, when Josh and the offense gets down there, scoring touchdowns. So win that battle as well down there in the red zone.
Right, and Buffalo's been very good. I mean, the last few weeks, they're 12 of their last 13 touchdowns on 12 touchdowns on 13 red zone drives, 71.4% right now success rate for the season. So 15 of 21 overall, that's even better. I take that back. It's not better than the Chiefs. The Chiefs are 13-18. So Chiefs a little bit better there. Somebody gets a stop there, could be the difference in the game. All right, lowdown number three.
And the last thing I think Sean has kind of talked about this the whole time is not beat yourself with the penalties, the offsides, the late hits, you know, the false starts. Those things are going to obviously set you back. And I think to that point, that allows you to start fast. So you don't have like a great drive going and then you have a false start. Now, instead of second and five, you have second and 10, or, you know, third and three. Now it's third and eight. So especially early in the game, you want to make sure you come out, have great sound football. Don't put yourself in a bad position by especially pre-snap penalties, you know, jumping off sides and false starts. I think it will really help this team get off to a great start, put the pressure on the Chiefs, and find a way to win.
Yeah, that focus was an issue last week. It was surprising. Like, you don't usually see that from a Sean McDermott coach team. And, you know, I tend to agree with you, and I know Steve does too, that, you know, the whole process was disrupted by the on-again, off-again nature of that game, when the Chiefs game was going to be played. I mean, this team had to cancel practice last Friday so the coaches could put a game plan together for the Chiefs game because they didn't know when they were playing them. I mean, so
you
look at the lack of focus in that game, and you can certainly point to reasons why, not that they were excusing themselves, but, man, there was a stretch there, Zoe, where they had three false starts in six snaps, and it was three different guys. I was like, I have never seen this before from this team under McDermott. It was really – it was eye-opening how much it threw them off with all of these changes with the schedule.
I think another thing, too, that was on offense. Also on offense, you had four different guys in the first half drop a pass that they don't drop.
Yeah.
That's another
sign. And I was going to say that, too. That was huge as far as the start and the rhythm of the game, especially for Josh. When they don't get off to a good start, those are balls that are actually were caught, you know, in prior games. And so they catch some of them balls, obviously one of the interceptions, a couple on third down where they're right there. I mean, you get a momentum, you score a couple of touchdowns, that game is totally different. And so that all goes to not beating yourself and executing.
All right, Lorenzo, we appreciate the time. As always, thanks for breaking this one down for us. Enjoy that game on Monday night. Hopefully it's got a good outcome.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you guys.
All right, Lorenzo Alexander bringing us the lowdown as he does every Friday. And I like his last one the best. Don't beat yourself. And I know that Coach McDermott and his players, while they gave their just credit to the Titans for executing on their end, I think he felt like they gave him an awful lot of assistance and beat themselves in many, many ways. Okay,
absolutely.
We have to break, but when we come back, NFL Films' Greg Cosell to talk more about the X's and O's of not only the Bills game against the Titans, but the Chiefs game against the Raiders and what it all means heading into Monday night's game. That's coming up next here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker, One Bills Live Friday edition, and we waste no time in bringing aboard our next guest. He's a weekly contributor here on One Bills Live. It is senior producer from NFL Films, one Greg Cosell, ready to help us through the X's and O's of what the Chiefs and the Bills experienced last week, which was a pair of losses, the first for each team, and how that might impact their approach to Monday's game when they square off against each other. Greg, how you doing, guy?
Chris, Steve, how's it going?
Going well.
It's going all right. I think the biggest thing that was interesting to me coming out of both of those games, Greg, was the approach defensively by the Raiders and the Titans against these two quarterbacks who are somewhat similar in terms of arm strength, mobility, et cetera. You know, the Raiders come out in the second half, and they rush three, sometimes four. They use a spy occasionally, drop seven into coverage. And they hold the Chiefs scoreless in the third quarter, and they only score 8 points in the second half, and they lose the game. And we saw the Titans kind of take more of a coverage approach as well against Josh Allen to force him to nickel and dime it down the field. How much do you think that could be a blueprint in defending these two quarterbacks going forward?
Well, it's funny you use that term. We've been talking about that. In fact, Sal Palantonio threw that word out to me on the matchup set this morning. Because we actually did pieces in the matchup show reflecting that with both Josh and Patrick Mahomes. I'm not necessarily a blueprint guy because I've always believed that if something were to work once and then everybody just kept doing it, that those players would never be very good anymore. And that's not going to be the case with Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. But I think what you do is you work off a player's strengths and a team's strengths, and you try to minimize them. So let's start with Josh and the Bills. The Titans took a specific defined approach that was built on playing zone coverage. Over 75% of Josh Allen's dropbacks, they played zone. There was disguise and late movement to get to whatever zone they were in, whether it was cover two, cover three. And Josh had made big explosive plays versus man coverage through the first 4 weeks. So they clearly took this approach. They rushed three. They rushed four. Sometimes they would bring a defensive back, but it would be part of a four-man rush, not a true blitz in a strict sense. So they took that approach. By the way, I don't think Josh played poorly.
No.
I couldn't speak to his second interception. Only he could speak to that. I couldn't. But I don't think he played poorly. And without a run game, and I think that's a little bit of an issue right now, without a run game, they had no big plays on offense.
Yeah, and how do you think with the Chiefs, the Raiders kind of did kind of the same thing? I mean, they dropped back into coverage, rushed just a hand, yeah, not even a handful of guys. And why do you think that gave them, the Chiefs, so much problems? Was it the fact that Sammy Watkins was not in the lineup, like John Brown wasn't in for the Bills, or was it something deeper than that?
No, I think, look, when you, there are three teams this year, by the way, that have played predominantly zone coverage against the Chiefs and have slowed them down, have made them a little less efficient. Patrick Mahomes will always put up numbers. He put up numbers against the Raiders. He threw for 340. But it's the efficiency. And the Chargers played predominantly zone. That's their MO to begin with. But the Patriots played predominantly zone against the Chiefs, and they're not a predominant zone team. And obviously the Raiders played a ton of zone, because I think what you're trying to do is you want to make sure that you play with great eye discipline, great leverage, assignment discipline, and you do not allow receivers to get on top of you. Now, the Raiders added another wrinkle, which I don't know how Sean McDermott feels about it. I don't think it's necessarily a part of what he does, but Travis Kelce often lines up as the single receiver to the short side of the field with three wide receivers to the wide side of the field. Now, what the Raiders did is they kept a corner to that side and matched him man-to-man on Kelce. So it's a corner now, a cover player, and they played zone to the trip side, the three-receiver side. That was something that the Raiders did, which was very, very effective. But the key is not allowing those receivers to get over the top of you. And you have a much better chance of not allowing that to happen when you play zone as opposed to man.
The after the game last week, Coach McDermott was lamenting the fact that they were getting a lot of cover two looks and they could not run effectively against cover two,
yep,
which is kind of a must when they're playing that way. If you're ever going to pull him out of it. So it looks like Zach Moss is on track to play and return from a toe injury come Monday. How might that be able to enhance Buffalo's ability to maybe run the football a bit more effectively? This is a run defense that hasn't done terribly well in the Chiefs in terms of giving up yards on the ground. Where did you see the shortcomings for Buffalo's running game maybe last week? And how it might change with Zach Moss potentially in the lineup this week?
Well, to me, and again, every coach is different, and it's very easy to get excited about Josh Allen and these receivers and the big playability, because every offensive coach wants explosive plays, and percentage-wise, you get them far more out of the passing game. To me, though, the run game is about commitment and patience. Because the run game could be 1 yard, 2 yards, minus 1, 7, 3 yards, 4 yards, minus 2, 8. The run game to me is about commitment and patience. And in an ideal world, the game is close enough that you can stay with the run game. Other than maybe Singletary, who does have the ability to break one here and there, certainly Zach Moss is not that guy. He's an urgent, competitive, downhill, sustaining runner. Zach Moss is not going to break 50-yard touchdown runs. So to me, it's about commitment to the run game. But I certainly understand how Brian Daboll, you know, feels, hey, we have Josh Allen, we've got these receivers, we can line up with four wide. Obviously, John Brown did not play last week. They still had snaps with four wide, just not as many. So it's very easy to feel that, hey, that's the way we're going to create our big explosive plays. But I think you have to commit to running the football.
How much of a role do you think Josh Allen should play in that commitment to running the football? I mean, he has they've kind of gotten way away from that. He had a few called runs in the first week or two of the season, and that was a big question here in Buffalo, a big conversation. How much is too much? And now in these last two games, and including the Tennessee game, almost no called runs at all. Do you think that should change, or could change, or would change? What do you think about Josh Allen's role in that run game?
That's a great question, Steve, because, you know, the reality is no matter how big a quarterback is, and we know Josh is, you know, he's a big oak tree and obviously incredibly athletic. When the quarterback runs, he does get hit. And it's not just a hit, you know, there's a couple of hits involved with the quarterback running. It's not just a hit to bring him down, but then often it's a 300-pound guy falling on him. So I think you can use it selectively and judiciously. I think it should be part of what they do because it puts great stress on defenses. So it should be present. I'm not smart enough to know how much or how little they should do it, but I think it should be part of what they do because of the stress it puts on defenses.
And then, Greg, just looking ahead to this one with the Chiefs and the Bills, is there anything that sticks out to you as a distinct advantage for one team or the other? I mean, we hear about this, you know, keeping everything in front of them type approach by these two, you know, by defenses against these two offenses.
Sure.
And I wonder if Travis Kelce is a true X factor for the Chiefs that maybe the Bills don't really have, unless you see Beasley as somebody like that.
Well, you know, the Bills played a lot of man coverage this past week, and I don't think they'll do that against the Chiefs. Again, that would be my sense. I don't know what Sean and Leslie have cooked up and what they have in mind, but I just think I was kind of surprised at the amount of man coverage they played, given that they were playing with two backup corners. But, you know, that's the approach that they decided to take. I really don't see them doing that this week. You know, I think that the Chiefs are an interesting team because Bell's not going to play this week. That's already been announced. The Chiefs are a passing team. They're not really a running football team. They're a passing team. So it comes down to limiting the explosive plays. Mahomes will throw for yards. They always do because they throw it so much. But you just must limit those explosive plays. And Kelce is an X factor because at the end of the day, you know how you deal with wide receivers. You know, either corners are on them one way or the other in zone or man, but it's how do you deal with Travis Kelce? Because the last thing you want to have in this game is to walk away feeling, hey, we didn't get burned by Hill or we didn't give up a long one to Hardman, but Kelce had 8 for 140. Right. So, you know, you have to decide how you want to play him based on where he lines up because he will line up, as I said, as the single receiver to the boundary. He'll line up as the inside slot to trips. He lines up all over the formation. And this is stuff that is worked out in your game planning. It doesn't happen on a whim in game day.
Right.
But you have to have a plan for how you're going to deal with him when he lines up in all his different receiver locations.
And I believe to this point in the season, he leads the league in yards after catch by tight ends with almost 200 on the season already. So it's not done if you just give up the reception either. That's the other thing with him.
What do you think Le'Veon Bell's going to bring to this offense? They signed him overnight. He won't be in this game, but going forward you can bet that Andy Reid didn't just do it for the sake of doing it. He's got a plan for Lev Bell. What do you think it is?
My sense would be as a receiver. I don't think he's been a very good runner, even going back to his last year in Pittsburgh before he held out. I think he struggled that year. He only had 3 rushes that year of 20-plus yards. I'm not saying they'll never hand him the ball. Of course they will. But I don't see him as a quote-unquote feature back in terms of the run game. He's a terrific receiver. You can line him up anywhere in the formation as a receiver. To me, given that Andy Reid is a pass-first coach and loves to throw the ball, you know, he's not as explosive, let's say, as someone like Brian Westbrook, who Andy had in Philadelphia. But I think you can do a lot of those kinds of things with Le'Veon Bell.
All right, Greg, we appreciate the insight here as always. It should be an interesting game. Is this one featured at all on your ESPN NFL matchup show? Yeah,
it's
we figured it would be.
Because Yeah, I did a segment on the Titans' approach to Josh, and Matt Bowen did a segment on the Raiders' approach with the Chiefs. So yeah, we took, because you know, when we do the matchup show, guys, you can just get caught up in every week saying, you know, particularly with the great quarterback. So let's just show Patrick Mahomes making a great throw. Let's show Tom Brady making a throw. So we try not to do that. We really try to dig a little deeper into the X's and O's of it.
Well, good for you for giving some credit to some defenses out there, because they are having a tough time in the NFL this year with all these balls.
Oh, that's for sure. Yeah, I'm curious to see if that changes.
It will, but probably not overnight. It'll probably be incremental, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, these games are fun, but, you know, a lot of them, they just look like college football.
Right. Yeah, it looks like a track meet. All right, Greg, good to catch up with you this week. We'll catch up with you next week. Thanks for the time.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. That's senior producer from NFL Films, Greg Cosell, joining us as he does every Friday. And his NFL matchup show is on ESPN and ESPN2 on Saturday and Sunday morning. So be sure to check that out as well. They're going to have a segment on how the Titans defended Josh Allen and that passing game so successfully. And there'll be another piece on what the Raiders did, which I still think is very interesting. And I believe there is going to be some, I mean, it might just be a small package of play calls for Leslie Frazier in the defense, but after what we saw last week and how that defense got torn apart in man coverage by A.J. Brown and a bunch of young guys, you think about the horses that the Chiefs are going to put on the field, even without Sammy Watkins.
Right.
I mean, that might be the fastest receiving core in the league, Steve. You got Tyreek Hill, who runs like a 4.29. You got Mecole Hardman, who runs a 4.35. And then after that, I mean, even DeMarcus Robinson runs a 4.45. And they got that younger guy, Byron Pringle, who Pete Sweeney, the Chiefs beat reporter who we had on yesterday, mentioned to us, he might have a larger role. He runs 4.45. I mean, they don't have a slow guy anywhere. So playing man with these guys, you make one false step and they're behind you.
Right. And yeah, and Sammy Watkins is going to hurt him, no question. And certainly the Bills, from the looks of practice and all that, are not going to be without both Tre'Davious White and Levi Wallace. They might be without Levi, but they'll have Josh.
Yeah, Levi's still on IR, so he's not eligible.
You know, they won't have undrafted rookies on the other side of, you know, Josh Norman. They'll have their full guns blazing. Milano looks like he may be on the line in the lineup as well.
So let me ask you this, Steve.
I mean, I'm not saying they're not going to look good. I mean, that offensive of the Chiefs is unbelievable.
You know that Sammy Watkins is not playing in this game with a pulled hamstring. So Tyreek Hill is their clear number one, but they also have Travis Kelce, who we just heard Greg Cosell mention is a major X factor for them. And the Bills have not been averse to putting corners on tight ends at times. Right. We've seen it. Tre'Davious White was covering Mike Gesicki in week two. What do you do with Tre'Davious White back in the lineup? Do you just lock him up and tell him to follow Tyreek Hill the whole game? Or do you have him match up to whoever's on his side? Do you put him on Travis Kelce? Do you go with a mixed bag? What's your approach there?
No, I go zone.
You're zoning it up.
I'm zoning it off, and I'm doing it from different disguises. And hopefully, once in a while, your defensive line can get some pressure on Mahomes to make him throw it, and then you got him. You got a guy dropping into the passing lane. You got a guy falling off another receiver to get into the passing lane. You make a play. The defense right now in the NFL, in my opinion, is playmaking. You get a turnover. You knock a pass down on a third and seven. You get a hand on a ball, or you drop into the throwing lanes. And the quarterback sees it and has to pull it down, and he's on the ground. You've got to make a play. It's not really about stifling the run. It's not really about shutting them down on everything. You know, there's no place to throw the ball. The way you get off the field is on third down and making a stop there. And that's how it's going to be done. But that's almost what I look for the Bills defense to focus on.
So it's almost as if you're relying on that zone coverage to help your pass rush this week, knowing this is such a throwing team. But at the same time, we know that the pass rush hasn't been what they've needed it to be.
Right.
So they may need the cover guys to really help those guys up front to get at least a hand on a ball or a hand on an arm to affect the release.
Or they can work a lot on what you're talking about is disguising what they're doing. Yeah. And so Mahomes thinks he's got it, and it's not, and he doesn't. And, that could happen as well.
And let's not forget this. Patrick Mahomes has never played against the Bills. In 2017, when the Bills played them, it was Alex Smith who was the quarterback. Pat Mahomes was in his rookie season and did not play until the final week of the regular season, which was a throwaway game for the Chiefs at the time because they had already clinched their playoff berth. And so he's never seen this defense up close and personal.
Here's one of the things about playing zone against a team like the Chiefs. You know, you send Tyreek Hill through the middle of the Chiefs defense or Mecole Hardman deep. What those guys do, they get so deep so fast, the defense has to stay on top of them, and it spreads them out. It spreads them thin.
Then stretches the field.
And you can pick them apart. It's frustrating for guys like Tyreek Hill and for Mecole Hardman and you know, John Brown and Steph Diggs and all these guys too, and Gabriel Davis. When you're running a route and there's a guy out there waiting on you to get there, that's frustrating.
Because you know you're not getting on top of him in time.
You don't have enough time to get on top of him, and he's got a head start on you, and you catch him. Now what teams do, obviously, when they do that, if against zone, what you do is you're running deep, and if there's a guy out there waiting on you, you just put the brakes on stop and find the dead spot and just stand there and wait on the ball.
Get in the hook zone.
And that's why, you can still play well passing. There's no magic wand for for an offensive system against any defense, and there's no magic defense against every offense. So that's what they'll be doing, and they'll be keeping the lid on it. And that's when you've got to find guys to get their hands in the passing lanes and knock passes down and be ready for it.
And on the other side, as an offense, you have to be precise and efficient because it's going to take you more plays to get down the field.
Yeah, you got to be patient. And certainly you got to make them count when you can, but you don't have four drop passes by four different guys. You don't have pre-snap penalties. You're first and 15 now or, that kind of thing. You can't do that. And you certainly can't throw interceptions.
And the other thing, too, is – and as we mentioned with Greg Cosell, Coach McDermott said we've got to be able to run better against a seven-man front. I mean, you got these teams playing cover two or dropping people into coverage. You have to be able to successfully run against that, not to the point where you're breaking off 40- and 50-yard runs for scores. I'm just looking for this run game to keep them on schedule and to keep a defense honest, like, oh, it's second and six. Maybe they will run here just to get three, so it's third and three, not third and six. Right. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I want to believe that this running game is capable of doing that. I think they are. To keep them on schedule and to keep that defense honest. I thought the pendulum swung just a little too much towards the passing end of things last week, and I understand why. They got down on the scoreboard early, and I think they felt they had to throw to climb back into the game, which we see so many times. But it was so early in the game that they fell behind. I was like, I really wish they would have stuck with the run a little bit more.
I saw a graphic from one of the websites, and it had neutral downs. What a neutral down is that tactically speaking, it's a run pass down. You could run or pass, and teams kind of have tendencies. And the good teams at the top of this thing were like Buffalo and Seattle and Kansas City and, all these teams as you're having good years. And the ones at the bottom were like, the Jets and some of the, and Cincinnati and some of these other things. It was throwing on neutral downs. How often you threw on neutral downs. The Bills were the top of the league throwing on neutral downs where you could either run or pass. And it speaks to the level of confidence they have in Josh and these receivers and their four wides to do that. And I think and it also speaks to the fact that I don't know that they've had faith in their running game. I think we're 6 weeks. This is going to be their sixth game in the season. They have yet to really hone in on who their offensive line is going to be. Some of that's been injury. Spain was out. Spain got benched. Cody Ford moved over. All of this stuff's been going on up front. And it's been the same thing on defense. Their linebacking core with Edmonds and Milano have been in and out of the lineup. And, of course, now the cornerbacks are nicked up. We knew it was going to take a while to evolve into where they were going to be and what they were going to be good at and all this. Plus, in this new NFL where nobody plays defense or is able to play defense, I think they're still in a finding out stage about who they are and what they're going to be able to do and do against just about any team. And I think there's still huge question marks about it. Moss, you don't even know what you got in Zach Moss yet. You know? Same thing with the offensive line. And I think this running game is, as a result, non-existent or hasn't been as existent as we wished it would. So it's there. I think they would like to rely on it more, but they don't feel the haven't felt the need to because Josh and the receivers have been playing so well.
Yeah, I mean, according to this NFL statistical site that I subscribe to, thus far this season, the Bills are running the ball just under 38% of the time. So it's less than 40% of the time they're running the ball.
Yeah.
37.4% is their rush percentage so far this season. That ranks 22nd in the league. The teams that run the ball. Now, we should note this. There's probably only about 10 teams in the league that run it 45% or more of the time. It's a passing league. I think we all know that. But this has got to be the lowest percentage that I've seen from the Bills in quite some time. And it's hard to argue with the results. Josh Allen has been one of the most prolific quarterbacks in the league, and this is a 4-1 football team.
Right.
But
they've been hanging some points on people.
Right. But we heard the head coach say this week, we've got to be more balanced on offense. If Zach Moss is good to go and back in the lineup, and all indications from the practice field are that he will be after being a full participant yesterday and back out on the practice field today, I would not be surprised if those percentages for the running game drift a little bit north of 40 now and up near 42% of the time and throw in 58% of the time. Because, I mean...
Yeah, and I think you're looking at it from a perspective now where you're going game by game, and I think the matchup is going to dictate whether you're 45% runs or 50% runs and 20% runs. The Chiefs, I think you're going to be up near 65-70% passes. I think you're going to need to air it out and keep up with those guys. Now, if you start running it and you get to a point where you can run it and they're defenseless that way, then you do it just the opposite of that. You get to the red zone and then you score touchdowns and you hang on to the ball and you limit their possessions that way. But let's face it, yeah, I don't think that's something that the Bills can count on given what we've seen this far in the season.
The Bills right now are throwing the ball more often than the Chiefs. The Bills are throwing the ball 62.5% of the time on all their offensive plays. The Chiefs are only throwing it 60% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
So slightly less. The Bills are throwing the ball around the yard more than the Chiefs are right now. And I think it's to a point where, because I'm just going by what Coach said this week. He wants more balance in this offense, and I think there's going to be a little bit more commitment to the run game, even if it doesn't work right away. But against this defense that the Chiefs are putting on the field, it should work because they are 29th against the run after 5 weeks. And I know 5 weeks does not a season make, but they have not been good at stopping people on the ground. So if there was ever a week to reestablish your commitment to running the football more effectively, it might be this week.
With Zach Moss getting back on the field, yeah, I could see him giving that a shot.
All
and
right.
Particularly, too, if John Feliciano actually happens to play, if he gets called up off the IR list, that would be interesting.
All right, quick break for us and back in a moment here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker, One Bills Live. Hour number two closing up here, and we want to take a quick phone call before we go to break. We've got Frank in Williamsville waiting for us. Frank, you're on One Bills Live. Thanks for joining us. What do you have?
Listening to you guys, I could just agreeing with everything you said, particularly Steve in the last minute or two, but I am hoping that game the other night was an aberration and not a trend. They executed so poorly. I can't see how they could do that anymore this week coming up, but I'm concerned that they don't run the ball enough. Like you say, and if you take out Josh Allen's runs, his designed runs, it even makes them look like they run the ball less. I mean, I understand why they're not. Get the ball to Singletary. Even if it, any way to get Singletary the ball, and then it's going to open everything up for Beasley, too. Those guys, those easy passes for Josh to make, if he'll open the deeper shot, long balls up, and I'm just hoping that that he gets back to executing the game. I mean, you can't have the fumbles and an interception for a touchdown on the drive. You just can't get yourself in a hole like that against better teams.
I know. Oh yeah, absolutely.
They're still learning, and I'd love to see Singletary get used a little more. I think they underutilized him last year. He's hard to tackle. He's quick, and he holds on to the ball. So we'll see what happens with good show, guys. Everything.
Thanks, Frank. We appreciate it.
You're
the
right.
Call.
I mean, I think it's there's a. Let's face it. The team's got warts. That they're 4-1 and they've looked fantastic. And what they're doing well, man, they look awesome. But you'd love to see them run the ball a little bit better. Now I get it too. I mean, defenses are getting, you're not playing in a vacuum. But you'd love to see the Bills run the ball more and do it more effectively. That would, and you feel that would make it even easier to throw the football. But I think one thing might be, too, is the fact that they're throwing it so well. I don't think they're going to – they're not – I don't know if they want to go –
I think they're going to be a little more committed to it.
Yeah.
Just reading between the lines with what Coach said this week, I think he's going to tell Dable, we got to stick with it a little bit more. Just a little bit more. I'm not asking for 50-50.
Right.
Just get me to 40%.
And this team is – the amazing part about this offense is, they're crushing it on third down.
Oh, my God.
They're unbelievable.
And in the red zone.
They're staying on the field, and they're scoring. I mean, they're
12
really
touchdowns
tough.
On their last 13 red
they're
zone possessions.
They're a big load. And so, they do have warts. They did not they have not run the football consistently enough. I mean, we've got enough highlights to last for a long time.
Yeah, but
you can see long runs here with, the 15-yard runs and the touchdown runs and all of that. But they're not consistent enough.
Yeah, but think about this, Steve. This is the number one third down conversion offense in football, and they're having trouble running the ball. Can you imagine if they just run the ball effectively and stay on schedule in terms of down and distance? They'll be even better on third down than they are now, and they're leading the league.
You think about this. If they do that, and they can still execute, they are good enough to hang with the Chiefs offensively.
That's why I think they got to run it just a little bit more.
They
just
are
just a little bit more.
So we'll see. There's no question. This is a team. This Chiefs, the Tennessee Titans are good. Now they were off for 2 weeks. They had 16 days, and like I told you, they were on vacation during that game. Ryan Tannehill was under center. He was smiling. He was so happy to be there. All of them were like that, and the Bills were like sickened by the whole thing. None of them want. They were like playing a leper colony. They didn't want to be there, right? So that's how that game gets like it is, right? The Bills are so distracted because they don't want to touch these guys, right? So anyway, but nevertheless, the Titans are a good football team. We knew that going in, and they played like it, and good for them. The Bills are playing another really good football team this week. You would look for the Bills to be in a different place mentally against the Chiefs. They will be. But their margin of error is still going to remain very small. Yeah. They've got to execute a lot better than they did on Tuesday night.
No question.
To beat this team as they did Tennessee.
All right, break time for us. But when we return, we reopen the OBL mailbag. And the football crisis hotline is open as well at 803-0550. If your football life is intersecting with your love life and there's a roadblock or a detour, we're here to help. Give us a call at 803-0550 or anything you have. Asking about the Bills, we have your answers. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker coming back in hour number three with your phone calls next on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.